It's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. We are almost halfway through the week. The beginning of the halfway point. Hump day, Wednesday. Styles and Watkins taking up to 2 p.m. Nate Littlefield behind the glass for us today as we break down all things NBA, specifically with the Kings. Our goal is to have the Mike Brown presser live and the Monty McNair presser live. That's at 11, Monty McNair at 11:30. If anything changes, we will let you know, but we plan on airing those straight through. If anything changes, we will just air them later in the show. Huge day for the Kings at 3:30 p.m. We'll be gone, but Drive guys will be here to announce whether or not Malik Monk will get kanged and not win Sixth Man of the Year. He deserves it. We have some sound from a future Hall of Famer that also believes he deserves it. But Chris, it is a real possibility that due to, what was it, 10? It was just 10 games. He lost this thing in 10 games. If he loses it, he would have lost it in 10 games to Naz Reid, who during those 10 games started majority of those games. That is the most Sacramento Kings way to lose out on something I've ever heard.
Yeah, it wouldn't make a lot of sense. I mean, it's breaking the spirit of what is the Sixth Man of the Year award. You know, I've heard a couple people say, it's the best player that comes off of the bench, not necessarily the person that comes off the bench the most. I completely disagree. I think the spirit is the person who came off the bench and impacted the game the most. To me, it's a really simple award to vote for, and I just don't understand how it couldn't be Malik. But you look at some of the early returns and you know, some of the projections for how this vote is going to shake out. It looks really, really close. I don't know how you could figure it out beforehand, but it definitely seems like when we do get the official tally, it's probably going to be a really, really close one that ultimately gets decided by you know, because they do kind of layer the voting process where first place votes count towards a certain amount and second place votes, and it's probably going to end up coming down to who has the least third place votes. And I think that probably benefits Malik, as I think you can't have him more than one or two, or less than one or two in this. So we'll see. We'll see. It's definitely going to be an interesting night. And if things don't go Malik's way, you're definitely going to want to tune into the Drive guys at 3:30, because something tells me Whitey and definitely Drapes is definitely going to have some things to say about that.
Yeah, and speaking of the Drive guys, Bobby Marks,
that's right,
who is the NBA front office insider for ESPN, outstanding interview. Shout out to the guys yesterday. Outstanding interview on the Drive guys. That we will have that for you at 12:15. If you missed it yesterday, 12:15. Bobby Marks, all the questions that you've had on Malik Monk, the cap, the capology. We said, hey, we're gonna get a capologist on here to figure this stuff out. And we did it in a day, thanks to the Drive guys. 12:15, we will have that for you if you missed it. And if you just want to hear it again, that is at 12:15. We will break down all of that. Also, whether or not the Kings underachieved, we will discuss that for you as well. 12:45, later in the show, biggest what if. Mm. Biggest what if for the Kings. I know on a lot of these shows, we sit there and we say, we can't say what if because it doesn't matter. Well, the season's over anyway.
We can say it now.
So let's have some fun with it. Biggest what if of the season. It could be if Malik Monk doesn't get hurt. It could be if Kevin Huerter shoots the way he shot last season. What is your biggest what if from this season? And then 1 o'clock starts our NFL Niners coverage, as this is going to be, this is going to be one of, I think, the most exciting drafts as far as trades that we have ever been a part of. Maybe not in the history of the drafts, I mean, it's definitely going to be top 10. There's so much movement. Nobody knows what's going on. And we'll bring it back home around 1:30, 1:45, and give our case as to why Malik Monk should win. So plenty of things, but I want to start here, Chris, before we get into the games from last night, because I complained about this, and I know we don't like to complain, but I complained about this when the Kings had that terrible stretch when Kobe Jones got hit in the face
against the Celtics and there was no call. When SGA traveled and there was no call. But right. on the two-minute report, and then De'Aaron, they ended up saying that De'Aaron's son's call was a correct no call. De'Aaron disagreed. But the two-minute report and how it's completely useless, I call it the my bad report. Yeah. And I started thinking, you know, I see Christopher Lawrence still back there in the glass. I started thinking, as far as soccer is concerned, could you add a point system to add to the two-minute report instead of just saying my bad? Because what comes out
yesterday— You're saying like rewarding points?
Something. Mm-hmm. Because what comes out yesterday— After the Sixers go down 2-0
right.
and the Knicks, the fan base is rocking, their Madison Square Garden's rocking,
it's on 12.
The two-minute report comes out and says that Brunson fouled Maxey, okay? And then later on, 3 seconds later, Josh Hart fouled Maxey, and it doesn't matter. Yeah. They're still down 2-0. Yep. They still got to go to Philly down 2-0. What is the point of the two-minute report? I don't understand.
None. No, I mean, it's a terrible look. Like, I think the point was to show some sense of accountability, but I think, you know, sometimes the actual practice of that leads to a lot of other circumstances that you weren't accounting for. And I think this is one of, like, the fact that you acknowledge the mistake just makes it worse. Like, it makes you feel worse about it because, like you said, well, now I know that you got it wrong. You're confirming you got it wrong.
Right.
And I also know that you can't do anything about it. Like you said, they're still down 2-0. There's nothing they can do. If they lose the series in however many games, like, they're going to look back at that and say, what a turn point that could have been. We could have split the series. We could have gotten a road game already, taking care of business at home, and it could have been a 3-1 series and an upset for Philly. So it's a really, really big turn of events. I don't know what the league should do about it, though, because I guess just stop releasing them because they don't help. They don't help.
Point.
I guess maybe if you're one of those people who believes any publicity is good publicity, like, we are talking about this game for an extra day than we would have beforehand. But I don't think that juice is worth the squeeze of getting the criticism of your referees are messing up in real time. And it felt like a bit of, this is in the Garden in New York, the things that we listed yesterday. Like, I think there was a lot of, not peer pressure, but pressure in that moment to have things go well for the Knicks because you have that fan base coming, you know, literally in front of you in their raucous and all of it. I think that it's a really bad look for the league, and I don't really understand what the point of continuing it would be.
I understand that they're trying to say, hey, we're always in the business of trying to be better. So we are acknowledging that we did make a mistake, but it doesn't help anything. And I don't know, even the point system that I played with, I don't know how that works in the playoffs, because my idea was some type of point system, and once you eclipse, it would just be added to the record, right? So once whatever amount of points that gets combined with your record, so let's say the Kings, they get to stay in seven, you know, because of the points, they stayed at the seven seed, even though they lost that game. Something like that. I made it off a whim.
Okay.
It
is so instead not, of win totals, it does it, turn into soccer points.
It would be both, but I don't know how you do that. But that's I don't know how you do that in the playoffs. There's no time. It's a series, so I don't know how you do that. But what I do know is that it does give credence to what LeBron James said. It gives credence to what Joel Embiid said after the game when he's saying it's ridiculous, when LeBron's saying, I just watched this. And everybody is everybody that wanted, or maybe not wanted the Knicks to win, but if they wanted the Knicks to win or just were impartial, they're calling it prison ball. They're calling it prison basketball. And maybe it's cool in the moment, but it's affecting how these games end. And the reason I think it's grinding my gears is because that's never going to lend itself to help the Kings. That's literally what De'Aaron Fox was talking about. It's never going to help the Kings, okay?
Sure.
The Kings are never going to get the benefit of the doubt unless they're playing a market that is smaller than Sacramento, which doesn't happen too often. And you probably shouldn't be in that situation anyway, Portland, whoever it is. But if it's that's exactly what happened against the Pistons, and that's why... And that's why Monty Williams had said, we're trying to do things the right way, but everybody knows we stink. The refs know we stink.
Right.
We go to Madison Square Garden. Of course they're going to get the calls.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they're going to get the calls.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you know, it's just the reality of the situation. Like, unfortunately, it's something that everybody knows that you have to deal with in sports, is if you are one of the smaller markets, you're playing 5-on-6. And, mm-hmm. and it's become a joke. But I do think, you know, the league is trying to be better and more even about it, for sure. But I think at the end of the day, these referees are people, and they definitely have their biases. And I don't think that there's any way of getting around that. And you're right. Like, it's never going to benefit the Kings, probably ever. Even in an OKC series, I don't know if the whistle would ever, you know, feel like it's leaning one way or the other. If you have two small market teams, I don't think the
NBA
cares
about Shea.
At all. Yeah.
They talked about Shea. I think it was Mike Brown talked about Shea and
sure.
how, hey, these
oh, yeah,
guys that have more star power.
Yeah, for sure.
De'Aaron doesn't get those calls.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just not fair. There's nothing you can really do about it but play through it. And, you know, that is the one benefit, I guess, of the Kings play style. We talk about all the time how they're not they play with integrity. And I think that will lend itself well to those kind of situations you're talking about. If you're used to, and De'Aaron does definitely, you know, make his case for a lot of foul calls, but I think for the most part they're a play through it kind of team. Like, Sabonis gets hit in the face all the time and he just plays through it. So I think that's just the mentality you got to have, because we've seen weaker minded teams fold and they get upset and they let the referees get in their head and they let it affect their play. If you're a team that just understands going into the game you're not going to get the whistles, I think that's going to lend itself well to a team like the Kings that just kind of plays through, understands that contact happens, and, you know, if the call happens, it happens, but they're going to continue to play on.
When we return, continuing the conversation, there's also an insane Nugget stat out there. If the Kings are looking for this blueprint, this would be outstanding if they could capture this in the future. Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Crazy, crazy Nugget stat here, Chris. Since
What's
acquiring
that?
Aaron Gordon
okay.
in March 2021,
okay.
the Nuggets have never lost a regulation game against a Western Conference opponent at home in which the starting five starts and finishes the game.
Wow. Okay. That's insane. I mean, it's a little bit of a cherry pick, but
it's
still a good number. I mean, it's still something that's
they're 38-0.
You know,
38-0.
I think if the Niner fans could hold on to Brock Purdy was undefeated or whatever in games that he started and finished.
Well, they did.
You know, yeah.
Up until the Super Bowl.
Up until that. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, yeah, I think that that's a fine stat. That's absolutely insane, but that really does speak to that's multi-layered for the Nuggets. I mean, it is a sign that trading for Eric Gordon truly was the thing that set them over the top, but that's also, we talked a lot about that elevation yesterday. I think it's also a sign of that
wow.
when you are a really good team
yeah.
and you have that guy that sets you over the top and you become that championship team, that's one hell of a combination. A ridiculous team with a ridiculous home court
and
advantage.
And elevation.
That's, I
Chris
mean,
is
that,
going
that's
elevation
combo.
On us.
That's the combo.
Did
combination.
Not see that coming. Let's open up the phone lines here as we discuss the two-minute report and how De'Aaron Fox can get the benefit of the doubt with the calls. And I have some ideas, Chris, that I'm going to run by the audience. All guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop, 916-339-1140. If you want to be a part of the conversation, Edward, what you got for us?
Well, on the two-minute report, number one, we all remember that was put in when Donaghy was a corrupt official and they wanted to reassure the fans and the bettors that at least things were going to be watched more closely.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a good reason for it. However, because of the nature that something happens in the last 2 minutes and you don't know what would have happened after that, so you can't change the outcome, there is one game that I know about, and it's a Kings game. It's January 25th, 2016, home against Charlotte. The situation was the Kings were the hottest team in the NBA under George Karl. They just were coming together. They'd won 6 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They had this game at home, and then they went off on a long road trip. Game went to double overtime. DeMarcus scored over 50 again. But with a 2 seconds left. Kings were up two. A rookie for Charlotte shoots a three-pointer at the buzzer. Makes it. Everybody walks off. The Kings walking off, heads down, dejected. Vladdy's there. He doesn't say anything. George Karl had been undermined by Vladdy. He doesn't say anything. But the next day, the two-minute report says the shot went after the buzzer. Shouldn't have counted. Now, in that case, an enterprising GM could have called Adam Silver and said, look, this one you could change because that was the last shot of the game. And it shouldn't have counted. Nothing else happened. So I would say you should call the commissioner and ask him to look at this game, look at the play-by-play and the way it happened and say, shouldn't that game have been one that was changed?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Edward. That's interesting because in that specific, and it sounds like, because we did this, Chris, and I just double-checked, we did this a couple weeks ago. The last successful protest was in 08. And Shaq was involved.
Right.
That's how you know that was a while ago. So, yeah, Vladdy, nobody went on to protest that game, which seems like it could be an obvious win because it's just a shot after the buzzer.
Right.
This Knicks-Sixers situation, I have no clue what do or what the league would do if it was regular. You even talked about it because of the travel. That's why this point system that I've created in my mind, I have no clue how it's going to work, but all I know, or how it would work, but all I know, you can't go back and replay, okay, the 37 seconds. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if it's between coming up with a point system that I haven't even nailed down and what you're saying as far as just not talking about it anymore, like Fight Club, we just don't talk about our mess-ups, you might be onto something because people would just say that's playoff basketball.
Exactly.
If it's not playoff, is it playoff basketball or not? Because in the moment it's playoff basketball. Yep. That's why you didn't call the fouls. But now you have a 2-minute report coming out saying that there's no such thing as playoff basketball. Yeah. They should have been a fouls. But clearly there is such a thing. Yeah. That's why you didn't call the fouls.
I mean, I think exactly what you just said. Like, this is playoff basketball. Like, the shot literally happened, I believe. It might have not been in that arena. But again, against the Knicks, the last time anything even remotely close to what happened in that game happened was the Reggie Miller shot where he scored, whatever, 6 points in 8 seconds or whatever it was. There was controversy that Reggie Miller pushed off on that play, which got the steal to happen. They didn't have a 2-minute report. They didn't review that. That just was a part of it, and you just forget about it in time, and it just becomes this magical moment that nobody ever talks about, the fact that there might have actually been a foul on that. So to your point, in the past, this has just been might have been a foul, but it wasn't called in the moment, and the moment happened, and so you got to live with it. The Jordan push-off, same thing. Like, Jordan pushes off Byron Russell, he hits the shot. Like, should we go back and look at the 2-minute report and say, you know, actually Michael Jordan did push off, and then the Jazz actually did win the championship. Like, I don't know what we're supposed to do.
It doesn't do anything.
I think it should just be might have messed up in the time, but... why do we need to acknowledge it? I just don't see what is the win in acknowledgement? That is the question that I think the NBA needs to answer, is what is the benefit of acknowledging our mistake besides the fact that maybe it gains public trust with 2% of our viewers?
Yeah, and...
Some people like transparency. I get it.
Right, because they don't do this. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. There's no version of this in Major League Baseball or
the
NFL.
Right? Like, they don't go back and say, you know, actually, I saw Juan Soto the other day got struck out and not a single pitch was inside the strike zone. Like,
the problem with baseball, we're trying to save paper. The baseball, you'd be using too much paper with all the missed calls. Football, why do I feel like in the NFL they do come out with something sometimes? Am I just making that up?
I honestly don't know, but it's definitely...
Because I'm thinking about
the Saints
thing a couple years ago.
Right, right.
I feel like something
came out. That
might
have been so egregious that it was mentioned.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like if there is a version of the NFL 2-minute report, it's not as publicized, that's for sure. Like, I don't think it's as... Like, the NBA Communications Twitter page, which is public to everybody, they just release it. Like, everybody has access. I don't know if the NFL does have their version of a 2-minute report. I don't think that it's public because you don't often see anybody talk about it. I guess you could also argue in football, there's not the immediate, like, you know, last play of, you know, because I feel like every last 2 minute report of a Hail Mary game would say, yeah, there was some pass interference in the end zone. Like, so I just don't think that it really exists.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Yeah. And real quick, I did want to bring up De'Aaron Fox and some of the stuff that happened towards the end of the season, because this isn't fair what I'm about to say, Chris, because it shouldn't be about this. But when you play in a small market, you have to power through some of these things. And we've talked about this before. It's a crazy statement that I'm about to say, but when you discuss brands and things like that, I do think it matters. And I'm not saying De'Aaron has to do this. He can do whatever he wants. But I do think that when you look at some of these other stars, as stupid as it sounds, these refs are affected by that star power and the fact that everyone knows that SGA is cool and he's the creative director for Converse and everybody knows Anthony Edwards is just a walking meme and everybody loves him. You got Jalen Brunson, who is already in New York, right? So when you look around the league at some of these other guys that are getting better whistles than De'Aaron, either they're in a bigger market or they have that star power that De'Aaron hasn't eclipsed yet. It has nothing to do with what he's doing on the court. And we know De'Aaron mostly cares about what he's doing on the court. And it's a crazy statement, right. But I do think, to your point, that these refs are human and they know a lot of these refs got kids. You know, my kid loves Anthony Edwards. This stuff matters. I don't know that I'm saying De'Aaron has to do this stuff. I just don't know how it changes if he does it.
Yeah, I mean, it's you got to put the onus on the ref, too. Like, I'm not going to act like De'Aaron
has... That's what I'm saying. It's a ridiculous statement that I'm saying, but it's just, it feels like that's the reality we're living in.
Sure, yeah. No, I hear what you're saying, that, yeah, the only way to change it is to be... It's like the chicken or... Like, how do you get the calls if you're not a star? How do you become a star if you don't get the calls? Mm-hmm. It's a weird thing to try and balance, but... I think De'Aaron just needs to put more pressure on the referees. And you know, I think it's unfortunate to say, but yeah, he needs to drive the lane and lay on the floor and, you know, ask for a foul. And I think he'll get it more times than not. But, you know, this year was probably a little bit of a special case because of how many threes he decided to take. I think that definitely took away from his free throws. But you could argue the entire team. I mean, it's not just De'Aaron, but Malik didn't get to the line that much this year. I don't think Sabonis, definitely not Harrison Barnes, didn't get to the line nearly as much as he did this year. It's definitely a Kings-wide problem, but that also ties in just with the Kings specifically. They got to hit their free throws, which is a whole different segment,
De'Aaron did say that. I really like De'Aaron's exit presser, and we'll continue to play clips of De'Aaron all the way down the roster here this week, next week, the week after that. Long off season, but we gotcha, and we're going to make it as exciting as possible. When we return, I got to apologize to Chris about Club Phoenix. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
You know what?
In this building, you can't hear anything because it's like a club. It's like a South Beach club. It's thumping techno club music. Thumping.
Live techno and local. Club music. Live and local.
Thumping.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Thumping.
This will definitely be played.
He'll eat the table.
You know what?
So good.
DJ Bedhead, you just never know what is going to happen. I don't know when's the last show we've done with Nate where that Stephen A. sound hasn't been played. It's going to find a way.
It's been months, I think.
It's insane, dude.
It's been a long time.
He shouldn't have said that.
He got chefs
in New Orleans who love him. They're looking for him.
They're looking for him, man.
You know, and maybe
for him is insane.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe did Carmichael Dave meet any of those chefs?
He must have.
In New Orleans?
He was too busy wearing that bedazzled hat.
Yeah, it is.
He saw the size 15s walk in and he was like, is that Zion? No. Oh, man.
You want some jambalaya? So before we get into my apology to Chris, real quick, we're going to do more of this in the 1 o'clock hour. Reggie Bush gets his 2005 Heisman back. So shout out to Reggie Bush and shout out to the committee and everybody involved for getting it right. If you don't think they got it right, we want to hear from you. 916-339.
Last 2 minute report that's ever been released.
Yes. Now that is a little bit different. He will now be invited to all those events. So
great.
I think you'll see
him in a Heisman
standing.
House commercial?
That would be awesome. I think you'll see him standing with the rest of the Heisman winners during the Heisman ceremony from here on out. If he wants to, maybe he's salty. Who knows? Who knows? So we'll do more of that in our football hour around 1 o'clock. Also, Mike Brown's exit presser, we plan on having that live at 11, and Monty McNair around 11:30. If we are unable to get them live, we will play them around 12 to make sure that you hear everything from the organization. But I got to apologize, Chris.
Yeah, why is this?
Because I started, it was a combination of things. I know that the Kings played the Timberwolves tough, and essentially everybody thought that as long as you don't have to face the Nuggets in the first round, this is from the Warriors to the everybody in the play-in,
right,
from the Warriors to the Lakers to the Kings, if you get OKC or you, and to a lesser degree, if you get the Timberwolves, you got a shot.
Mm-hmm.
If you got the Nuggets, you just don't have a shot. And the way the season ended for the Suns, not that they played great, but they were able to beat the Kings, and then they sneak into that sixth seed. I kind of started to drink the Kool-Aid on them. You've never been high on the Suns.
Yeah.
They weirdly snuck. They played really well towards the end of the season and powered through their gauntlet, which was they were healthier.
It was legit.
They were the big three, right? They had all big three. They were healthier than the Kings, but they did play better than the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Started to drink the Kool-Aid, but I'm just here to tell you that you were right, I believe, on and we all do this thing where being down 2-0, you act like they're down 3-0, so they're not done.
The Kings were up 2-0 last year in the playoffs.
You're definitely not done, but just the way they're playing,
I
think you were right on with the Suns, and I saw something that made me think, wow, is this person talking about me? Because a tweet came out, and it said, a lot of people were talking, because Devin Booker said, respectfully, I don't know how they're going to guard us, and they have not broken 100 in the first two games of the series. And people said, and this one account that I follow said, a lot of people who don't know ball thought the Suns would work, but us real ball knowers knew the Suns wouldn't work. And I thought, I'm going to take that as disrespect, but Chris should take it as a badge of honor because you never believed in the Suns.
No, I just didn't think that the others were good enough. I mean, I will also say that Grayson Allen went down with a pretty serious injury yesterday. It looked like he had a high ankle sprain that looked like it was pretty nasty. I don't know if he'll be able to return for the series. You know, I have that working theory that the worse it looks, the better the diagnosis will actually be, but we'll see how that ends up going. You know, that's a big part for them is like Grayson was kind of the, as crazy as it sounds, like the 3.5. Like he was the guy that they kind of relied on. Of course, Nurkic has had a pretty decent season as well, but I just never saw it with the depth. Like, you know, and this was before I even knew that the Western Conference was going to be what the Western Conference ended up being. But I just thought it was a tough task when, you know, they were signing guys like, you know, Josh Okogie and Bol Bol. And, you know, I thought Eric Gordon was definitely a good signing, but you just look at their depth and it's like, they're going to be relying on fourth quarter Drew Eubanks minutes. And that's kind of the point where they're at right now. And ultimately last year in the playoffs, it was just too much. Denver was a much deeper and better team than them. I wouldn't have thought that that Phoenix would meet this much resistance this early. But, you know, I think ultimately it was always going to be a tough task for Kevin Durant, who's 35, 36 years old. Bradley Beal, who hadn't been in the playoffs in, I think the last time Bradley Beal was in the playoffs, he was playing with John Wall and Paul Pierce. So that's how long it had been for Bradley Beal. It was just always going to be a tough task. And then, you know, bringing in Frank Vogel, too, in his first season, just none of the pieces really seemed to make sense. And I don't take a lot of joy in it. I do think it would have been a lot of fun to see KD and Book make a run because those guys obviously have a ton of star power. But ultimately, I just think that they aren't deep enough. You can't, I think in today's NBA, you can't do the, I don't want to say the Warriors model, but I'll say more of the Miami Heat, the Heatles model of, we have our three guys, and then we have Norris Cole, Mario Chalmers, Udonis Haslam, you know, Joel Anthony. Like, you can't have three and then everybody else. I think you have to have a team. You have to have a team. Like, it's crazy that we're in a time in basketball in which all five guys on the floor actually matter, and then you could argue maybe the two guys coming off your bench kind of set you over the top. And I just don't think Phoenix, they have a decent five when you count everybody, you know, Grayson and Nurkic, but you need more to be the best in the West right now. And I think that that's what a lot of teams are figuring out, including teams like the Lakers. Like, I think they have LeBron and AD, and they're kind of hoping that Rui Hachimura can hit an open three.
It's so fascinating how some teams are just, hey, letter of the law, we run our offense.
Yeah.
And then some teams just have absolutely no offense.
Yes.
I mean, the Suns and the Kings could not be more different.
That's so true.
The Kings, they are going to run that thing into
like
the ground.
Yeah.
And the Suns have no plan on offense.
No.
I don't. Maybe it's a KD possession. Maybe it's a Booker possession. Yeah. Maybe it's a Bradley Beal possession. Maybe it's Grayson Allen. We don't really know.
It's hit tough shots.
We have no clue what we are trying to do each and every time down the floor. And look, maybe I'll rescind the apology. Maybe the Suns figure it out.
That's right.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt it. They're going to win maybe two games because of who they have.
Sure.
But now you have people talking about how, oh, well, Devin Booker needs to be checking Anthony Edwards, and Draymond said it needs to be KD. Someone said KD's 35-year-old self does not need to be guarding. Does not need, because that was my whole thing when we had the Suns, we had Suns media on, and they were talking about how does KD still need the accolades or whatever. The more I thought about it, the more that shouldn't even really matter.
Right.
Because Uncle KD, Uncle Kevin should be enough to win. Bradley Beal, Uncle Kevin should be enough to win. If Devin Booker, and we have people at this station, I won't name names, but we have people at this station very high on Devin Booker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if he's that guy, Uncle Kevin and Bradley Beal is not enough. And Grayson Allen just got hurt, but Nurkic ain't enough.
Yep.
And Devin Booker should be that guy. But Chris, I got to tell you, streets are talking.
Yeah.
And you're not going to like this. Mm. The streets are talking.
What's the word?
The word on the street is that KD, LeBron James,
teaming up with
Steph Curry in the Bay.
Oh, my God.
They're calling it the OG Tour, Chris. They're calling it the OG Tour.
They can't keep getting away with this.
What?
Are you ready for the OG Tour?
So the Warriors are now on their Laker game where they're starting to work on Photoshops? Is that what I'm hearing?
It was a really good Photoshop, too.
Oh, my
God. I'm just telling you.
I can't with
that. The OG Tour. Would you fear the OG Tour?
I would, but, like, why does it need to happen? Why do we need to have the senior tour in Golden State? Why is that?
Yeah.
Why, like, what is...
Because Steph ain't leaving.
See, but the problem is there's no way. It would be the KD problem again. Like, you couldn't. Steph is the guy. Like, and there's no way. I mean, I think KD is a little bit more open to it, especially since he already went through it. But LeBron James is the sun, man. He is the thing that everybody else circles around.
Didn't he say that?
Yes. He literally said, I am the sun. Okay? And someone who has that kind of view of themselves, it's not taking a backseat to anybody, especially not 6'2", Stephen Wardell Curry, okay? Mm-hmm. There's no way LeBron James takes a backseat to let Steph have any... No, and then,
but he wouldn't be taking a backseat, I don't think.
I think in the Bay, it just kind of ends up happening. Like, they're never going to love LeBron nearly the same that they admire. It's the KD problem all over again. And,
but,
you know,
LeBron isn't as fragile as KD.
Are we sure?
Not now. I don't think
Are
now.
Sure? I think
okay,
LeBron's
but it's
fragility. But then they win a championship, and Steph is still going to always be one up on him.
No, they'd be tied.
Or they're going to be. I mean, yeah, but
they'd
it's going to
be tied. But
it's going to be. You
LeBron,
had to go join Steph to go make it. Like you're fueling way too much fire.
I'm just saying.
The
OG tour. The streets are talking.
I hate that
about the OG tour.
Well, the streets need to stop.
The off season.
Clean up
is
the streets, man.
Alive and well. When we return, Chris is going to be sad if this happens because one of his favorite podcasts might be on hold. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
More bad news for the pitchers as Blake Snell has been placed on the 15-day IL with left adductor strain. They have recalled Landon Roop from AAA. That is per Pavlovich, NBC Sports Bay Area. The adductor, Chris, is a muscle in the hip. So this doesn't have anything to do with the arm.
Right.
Tommy John's, which, by the way, Tommy John's, there was a chart that I saw come through, and it said the Tommy John's aren't actually up.
Really?
Year per year. Hmm. Yeah. So Blake Snell, you know, he got signed late, didn't really get to do spring training, has not been good since coming back from spring training, and is now injured. Hey, you take some swings and misses, and I don't know what is because of what, because now you have Blake Snell, who is going to pitch even less because he's injured. And I know that Giants have more guys coming back that they signed, but this has not been the start that Giants were hoping for. But you'd rather be playing your best baseball later in the season instead of earlier in the season.
And Whitey also did warn us that, you know, he watched Blake Snell quite a bit last year, and he kind of did the same thing with San Diego, where started off really slow and then eventually just became unhittable. So I guess the hope is for the Giants that that follows the same track line.
There you go. There you go. By the way, our guy, Logan Webb,
an absolute gem. You can actually say
last
local
night.
Guy.
An actual gem last night. This dude is coming for the Cy Young.
Ridiculous.
He's a competitor of the highest order. I'm very upset at everyone because nobody sent me a Logan Webb basketball jersey, Giants basketball jersey. Yeah. I didn't get out there. That was this Sunday. If you have an extra Logan Webb basketball jersey, please send it to me. Yeah. Please send it to me. All right. J.J. Redden, before we get into it, 916 is saying Tommy John's are not up because they are having them younger and younger before they get to the pros. That's an interesting point, 916. That is an interesting point. And I know a couple guys that had it when I was in college. So
right. Yeah, and that's a weird thing, too, where like they're saying now it's almost better to get it done early because you're going to get it eventually.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. Also, before we get to JJ, 11 o'clock, we're hoping to have Mike Brown's presser. If we are unable to get it live, we will play it in the 12 o'clock hour. Also, Monty McNair, and I know everybody wants to hear from those two gentlemen. And Chris is going to be sad, okay, as we get into JJ Redick, who is now this is what happens when you talk ball with LeBron James, okay? Shout out Mind Game Pod. JJ Redick is a serious candidate for the Hornets head coaching position and could land another interview. This is per Shams. Shams says, JJ Redick has interviewed for the Charlotte Hornets head coaching job. I'm told he could have another interview soon as well. He's a serious candidate. I don't know what – this is what we talk about when you talk you mentioned Lindsey Harding, how she did a great job in the G League. There's just – there are some jobs, and I think I could put our job in this category, right? And whether it's anything in media or whatever the case is, some jobs have paths, okay? Some jobs seem to have paths, but they don't really have paths because J.J. Redick – has not coached.
No.
At
not
all.
AAU. Not. I think he coaches his son's basketball team and his son is in elementary school. So.
And he's a serious candidate
because
he knows the game and he's never coached before.
I don't
understand.
It's almost like a version of nepotism. It's obviously not, but it's like we're assuming you could do the job because.
It sounds like you can do the job.
Some loose relations to the job.
Yes.
And it's like. Okay, like, or you could just, I don't know, like, maybe hire somebody who's qualified, maybe somebody who's dedicated their lives to, like, you know, coaching and working on coaching benches and have been through that and, you know situation. I wouldn't want it. I mean, I don't think, you know, and it has nothing to do with the job that I think JJ could maybe do one day as a head coach, but, you know, I'll just, you know, I just think that the word you used is perfect. There's a path to these kind of things. And I just think in every job, you should have a base layer understanding of how positions under you operate. And of course, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
there's
a
hierarchy
point.
Of things. How is he supposed to tell an assistant coach, besides the fact that he was a player who probably dealt with assistant coaches and that's his knowledge of it, but how is he supposed to delegate jobs to his assistants when he really doesn't know what a typical assistant may do or what are some different avenues.
He's
that
not
you
even
could
even
approach.
Been on a staff.
It's strange. Like, you can have conversations, but yeah, you it's completely different going through an 82 game season multiple times and figuring out how to do it. I mean, I think about Doug. Like, Doug Christie is somebody mm-hmm. who I think we would all love to eventually see get an opportunity like Jordy just got. But I would probably say if you know, as the Mike Brown rumors circle, like if Doug were to be offered, Doug's been on that bench for a couple years. I would probably say, like, I would wait a couple more. Like, and he's been there, done that. And I would still say, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily 100% the right avenue, because I just think that there's invaluable experience that you can get by not being the guy in charge, like by waiting and watching mm-hmm. and seeing how people deal with things, like how Mike Brown saw Steve Kerr deal with things throughout his time. And he's talked about how it made him a better coach. I think there's still so much that I mean, all these people haven't seen until you go through it, like how to navigate. I mean, again, to use Doug or Lindsey Harding as an example, like, they don't know what it's like to get your, I guess, Doug as a player, but as a coach, getting through the second round. How do you get your team to go from one round to another round and properly prepare them? There's so many small things like that that you just don't know until you go through it or have seen someone go through it. I just don't understand how you can give somebody a job when they're literally doing he's doing the job that we pretty much have now.
Yeah, right. He's just on TV.
Yep.
And he's doing podcasts yep. and things like that. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Nets did this with Steve Nash.
Yes, this is exactly because
he was not on any staff. He was on a staff.
He was like a yeah. Warriors like consultant.
He was a player consultant.
He would show up to practice and talk to Steph and KD essentially.
Right, yeah. Right. And I'm thinking outside of the NBA, Jeff Saturday.
Yes,
which went down as one of the worst Raider losses I think in the yeah. last 2 years,
yes,
which is saying something.
One of the best Vikings wins of maybe ever.
The
33 point comeback.
Yes. Yes.
Thank
so
you,
I don't understand. I don't get it. Maybe he doesn't get the job, but every yeah. before I got into the industry and even post getting into the industry, every good boss that I've had has had a similar job
yeah.
to what I was doing. Anybody yes. that they just try to place me under and they've yeah. never done it, it's just never worked because we can't relate the same way.
Right.
And when you're talking to your staff, JJ, how is he going to build a staff? And then on the other side, maybe they don't think it matters that much. All right, we're trying to confirm whether or not we will have Mike Brown live or not. So let's sneak in Jason just in case we do get it live. What's up, Jason? You got about 30 seconds. What you got for us?
All right, what's going on, guys? Just real quick, I'm pretty sure Larry Bird had no prior coaching experience when mm-hmm. he led the Indiana Pacers to the finals in 2000.
Gotcha.
So just wanted to throw that out there. I'll take your mention off the air. Thank you.
No, thanks for the call, Jason. It definitely does happen,
yeah.
right? And that's a great call. We can break down
sure.
who's been able to pull it off and who hasn't yeah. for sure. I think more often than not, it doesn't happen often, so there are yeah. not a lot of cases. And maybe JJ...
Also, we're asking JJ Redick to take control of the Hornets, which is not quite an Eastern Conference finalist team, if that
yeah.
makes sense.
Well, like, I don't know where the Pacers were when Larry took over.
I'm more just saying, like, it's a bit of a smaller task to do, I would say, what Steve Kerr did in terms of taking a good team to, okay, let's get over the hump, which
yeah.
is what I assume Larry Bird did, versus... We're going to hire J.J. Redick as the Hornets coach. The Hornets are the worst team, or one
sure.
of the worst teams in the East. We're going to have J.J. figure out how to turn
we
this
don't even
25
know Popovich,
win team
yeah.
to 50. Like,
right. We don't even know if really Popovich could yeah. could fix the Hornets. And Steve Kerr, at least, was on that staff with the Spurs. All right. When we return, we will have Mike Brown, or you'll have us. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.